This is the Big East Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go on a Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Love our listeners. Connect with us at eRadio Sports. Info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com. We make it so easy. You can download our app and enjoy the very best in sports programming. I tell you what, we're excited. Week two of the NFL season, and we're going to go inside the huddle with my producer. That is Jack McCraw. Give him a follow on Twitter, at the Jack McCraw. And, you know, there's just so many different storylines. But what's been your biggest takeaway from just the start of the season?
How good the New Orleans Saints looked with Jameis Winston at quarterback. I know everything that's going on in New Orleans, so this was a very emotional game for them, having to move the game from the Super Bowl to Jacksonville. But I'm not sure if Matt LaFleur just didn't game plan for the Saints or not. Jameis Winston had some amazing throws, and he looks like he went to QB school, sat behind Drew Brees, and just learned the offense instantly and has taken the keys to the Saints franchise and just made them a legit contender. Here's an interesting stat for you, too. Winston only completed 14 throws, which is the lowest among all the active QBs right now in week one, and only had 148 yards, but would just had an amazing game. So the Saints have impressed me the most.
So, Jack, how do your expectations change as far as for New Orleans? How far can he take them?
They can win this division. I know Tampa had a sloppy game against the Cowboys earlier last week. I don't know. This offense, Sean Payton looks like he's not missing a step transitioning from Drew Brees to Jameis Winston. And, you know, when they eventually get Michael Thomas back, watch out. That offense might be one of the best in the NFL.
The New Orleans Saints, a team that we've got our eye on. I tell you what, who is under the most pressure entering week two? You were just highlighting, talking about Jameis Winston. He's off to a great start in 2021. But what quarterback is kind of feeling the heat early on?
I kind of want to say it's Aaron Rodgers, even though his mind might not be in Green Bay anymore. He has an upcoming game Monday night against the Lions. If the Packers lose that game, they could pretty much kiss their season goodbye, or it's going to be all heck breaking loose in Green Bay.
Okay, they're putting a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers, but what about defensively? I mean, they had a lot of points last week.
Well, they did, but at the same time, like, this Packers team is supposed to be competing for a Super Bowl, and, you know, you lay an egg like that, and you're not going to have a good start to the season.
It is week two of the NFL season. We're also going to get you ready for week three of the college football season. Always amazing guests and lineup right here, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Many different ways to connect with us. We love to engage and hear from our audience. We've got lots of different platforms. Live on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. Info at eRadioSports.com. PodcastArena.com. And you know what? Download our app, and you can enjoy the very best in sports programming at Sports Map Radio. Also, football season's here. You know what that means? It's time to prepare for road trips. Before your travel begins, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go ensures a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, our week two coverage of the NFL season continues, and we have several big games that we're going to feature in our next segment. Always looking forward to catching up with the Super Bowl winning and the legendary coach, and that is the great Dick Vermeil. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Well, let's get right to it. We want to get your early season takeaways. I think we have seen a little bit of everything. I mean, who knew that Jameis Winston and the Saints would destroy the Packers? I mean, Jameis has embraced his new opportunity and made the most of it. I mean, he passed for 148 yards, 14 completions, and had that massive 5 touchdowns against Aaron Rodgers' Packers. What were your takeaways?
Well, I think that's got to be a record. If you really research the record book, I can't think of a quarterback that's only thrown for 148 yards and 5 touchdowns within those 148 yards. You know, and it doesn't surprise me. We've always known in the 7-year career of this kid that he could throw the football, but he's never been in a Sean Payton offense. You know, and Sean Payton has an unbelievable positive influence on his quarterback, no matter who he is. And so it looks like Jameson is going to really reap the rewards of his coaching.
Well, Jameson, this week, he's going to have to overcome a new obstacle, as the latest news that's been released is the Saints have been hit, unfortunately, with the COVID outbreak. They've got six coaches and one player on the injured reserve list after testing positive. They are scheduled, of course, tomorrow to play the Panthers. So let's talk some more about Jameson Winston and, you know, why this organization might be better than when he was with, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, I go all the way back again, repeating myself, to Sean Payton.
Okay.
You know, Jameis Winston has only had 4 seasons in the 80 quarterback efficiency ratings and 2 in the 90s, 92 being the highest. All of a sudden, he starts out the first game of the season with 130 quarterback efficiency rating, which is very, very difficult to do. So, if number one thing that's changed is the system he's in and the coaching staff that he has. It fits him.
Jameis has an incredible resume. And let's think back to, you know, Coach. I mean, he was drafted number one overall in the 2015 NFL draft. Expectations were very high, but he hasn't met those. I mean, what were your expectations when he first arrived in the NFL?
Well, you know, being drafted number one overall is no guarantee, but it's usually a good indicator that he's had an unbelievable college career. And at that time, Florida State was playing extremely well and not struggling. So he reaped the rewards of being in a good college football program with good football players around him that allowed him to perform up to and say maybe some cases beyond his ability. And sometimes you get a distorted evaluation of how good an individual player is in these real fine programs. And then he gets into the NFL and really has some games that startle you and look really good, but nothing on a consistent basis. So now he ends up in New Orleans with, you know, a program that is consistently very good, especially on offense. And, you know, they're running the ball well and their defense is playing well. And the only thing that beats them right now, I think, is COVID.
Okay, so we hit on the Saints. Very impressive in week one, but give us your early impressions of the Packers. I mean, how much is Aaron Rodgers to blame for getting pounded by the Saints?
Well, I don't think you can blame him entirely, but you've got to believe all the stuff has been a distraction. You know, and also not playing in their home stadium or the Saints' home stadium. They didn't react well to playing in a totally different site. And, you know, Green Bay, when they play at home, is an unbelievable advantage for them. But I do believe the Rodgers situation the whole year and everything about Green Bay being Rodgers rather than the team was a distraction. And I think you'll see him snap out of it this weekend.
You know, Coach, did you think he really wanted to be a Packer this season? I mean, he finally sashayed and walked back into Lambeau Field. And as you're talking about, I mean, there was a lot of drama in the offseason. Do you think this is the place he ultimately wants to be?
Way too much drama. And, you know, they're paying him a ton of money. And, you know, the thing that's unique about Green Bay, it's owned by the community.
Yeah.
No one owner owns that team. And when you respond to and send messages like he was sending, he doesn't want to be there, that turns off not one owner. That turns off the community. And I'll be surprised if they ever accept Rodgers as the person he was because of this offseason, you know, just disturbance, really, and distraction of not wanting to be there. You know, obviously he came back because he had no choice, because how else do you get paid? If he doesn't come back, he doesn't get paid. So, and they were paying him a lot of money, and he deservingly. But I just think he's lost a degree of his prestige and credibility within the entire community, and it'll be very, very hard to regain that unless he plays well and then comes back next year. Now it's rumored that he won't be back there next year.
Yeah.
So anyway, not good for Green Bay.
It is wait and see at this point, and you're listening to the familiar voice, legendary Super Bowl winning coach, 19 years in the NFL, and that is the great Dick Vermeil. And so let's shift our focus to Sunday, the matchup between the Chiefs and the Ravens, 8:20 Eastern time kickoff. The Chiefs, of course, one of your former teams, and they made a big statement, taking care of business against the Browns in the season opener. Coach, help us out. I mean, like, what did we learn?
Well, you know, you didn't have to learn it, that Andy Reid is going to have his team prepared to play, as is John Holmgren this coming weekend. Harbaugh, rather, Holmgren.
Yes.
Harbaugh, excuse me. But he, Andy Reid is, you know, he's an unbelievable football coach, and he's always going to score points. He just waited a little too long in the game last week and scared everybody. And all of a sudden, here they come. And, you know, they have so many weapons that are so well coached. The offensive line is better. I think the defense overall will be better. And the Browns are loaded with talent. They proved that last year. You know, they had many losing years in a row. And drafted pretty well. Now all those first round, second round picks are maturing and being coached well. They're always tough to beat. So Andy brings them back with great rallies in the second half. And I look for the Ravens game to be much the same, but I don't know if the Ravens can match them point wise. I can't see that happening right now. Their running back situation, the first two running backs are out. They're bringing kids off the practice squad to line up and play and signing free agents out there that have played already, you know, 8 or 9 years and just looking for a place to finish the season, you know, their careers. So I picked the Chiefs to go ahead and win it. And I'm a big Harbaugh fan. And I like what he does. And he's not afraid to be a little bit different or anything like that with his offensive scheme. And he's got a great quarterback. It'll make it tough, but I can't see him beating the Chiefs.
It will be a fascinating matchup when we talk about the Chiefs and the Ravens. What a way for the Chiefs to kick off the 2021 season. Patrick Mahomes named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week after leading Kansas City. As you were talking about, Coach, I mean, coming back from that 12-point deficit to defeat the Cleveland Browns. Let's talk some more about the Chiefs' offense. I mean, how good is this offense?
Well, they probably have the best offensive material in the league in terms of explosive players. And when you put those guys on the field all at the same time, every one of them is a threat. So you can't double up this guy thinking you're safe or your defense is sounder because you're going to take him away. The other guy beat you. So, you know, and then you got Kelce, the tight end inside, regardless of the color of his hair this year.
that isn't going to slow him down.
So, and you know, and Andy Reid is going to throw the ball as well or better than anybody in the league, along with Sean Payton. Those two guys are probably the two best pass offensive coaches that have come around in years.
Well, we hit on one of your former teams. We're winding down our time. Talk to me about the Eagles. How about that impressive win against the Falcons last week, 32-6? Give us a quick hit, and Jalen Hurts, he looks like the guy of the future.
Well, you know, I was very impressed. I thought they played with great definition of purpose. They knew what they were doing. They did it well. They executed well. Mm. They balanced the run and pass efficiently. Jalen Hurts played well. They started out the game throwing a lot of dink and dunk stuff, the quick screens to wide receivers and that. And there's no law against that. A lot of people do that. But they did it very efficiently. And the Atlanta Falcons are slated to go to the Super Bowl right now. And for a while, they looked like they could move the ball on the Eagles. And the Eagles tightened up on defense. They got a little bit more prepared for combat and took them on and stopped the running game. And they didn't give the quarterback, you know, and he's a good one, time to throw the ball. So I was very impressed with the Eagles.
We are wrapping up our time. Dick Vermeil, legendary NFL Super Bowl winning coach, head coach with the Eagles, the St. Louis Rams, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Give us a quick hit and reaction. You have been nominated as a finalist to the 2022 Hall of Fame class. What was your reaction when you got that call?
I was overwhelmed. That's the best way to pronounce it or define it for me. You know, I had heard that I was in the running the last 2 or 3 years since they changed the categories of Hall of Fame candidates. Now they have a player candidate, a coach candidate, and a contributor candidate. So you have three categories. And the last couple of years, I have been in the finals. So it, you know, even at that, it startled me. You know, because coming up through coaching like I have, and around all the the high school, the junior college, the college coaching. That kind of an announcement went way beyond my expectation.
Well, we will have to wait. And we are so excited for you, Coach, and we look forward to catching up and extending this conversation. Thank you so much.
Okay. Nice to be with you, Alyssa. Take care.
Absolutely. You too. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. We always love to engage with our audience. We're live on Twitter at eRadio Sports, info at eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com, and you can always download the app and enjoy the very best in sports programming at Sports Map Radio. And Superstar batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstar battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and much more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and their professional parts people can help you find just the exact battery for your vehicle. They make it so easy. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And yes, it's true. It is the middle of September. The NFL college football season are well underway. But guess what? I'm so excited. The WNBA playoffs, they are just around the corner. Seven teams have solidified their spot and clinched a playoff berth. And we are so thrilled and honored to have with us for the first time on our show, that is Kurt Miller. He is the head coach of the Connecticut Sun. Good morning, Coach.
Great to be here, Alyssa. I apologize in advance. A little bit of cell service problems today, but bear with me.
That's all right. We will muscle through it together. So let's talk about the Connecticut Sun. You guys are 24-6, 13-1 record at home. It has been a sensational season. So I'm just kind of curious. Let's step back for a moment. What were your expectations coming into this season?
You know, unique expectations coming into the season. Unfortunately, in January, lost our star player to an Achilles injury overseas in her international team. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, a little bit underappreciated and below the radar expectations coming into this season. So, for us to secure the number one seed, have the best record in the league, haven't lost a regular season game since July 3rd, it's been a remarkable season without a star player who, unbelievably has returned in 9 months, played in her first game last night as we move to 25-6 and now 14-1 at home, and just remarkable to have her back.
You are listening to the voice, Kurt Miller. He is the head coach of the Connecticut Sun. You bet we're talking WNBA and the Sun. They have the best record this season. So we're all about X's and O's, but what's been the formula behind the team's success this season?
Without question, it's the locker room. It's the culture. I know it's a little bit of coach's cliche, but we really have a championship locker room. They're so unselfish. There's a family environment in that locker room. And they've individually sacrificed a little bit of shine on themselves for the betterment of how we're playing as a team. And they're not caring who's getting the credit. It's just all about winning as a team. And so I know it's a little bit of a coach's cliche, but we really have something special in that locker room, that culture, that family. Has really propelled us to have the season we're having.
Well, Coach, we're going to shine the spotlight on several players, but, you know, what is the key to have a flourishing finish, to finish the season strong and so that you can be in a position to win a title?
Anyone that's followed us, Alyssa, I know is that we have really hung our hat this year on defense and rebounding. Mm-hmm. We are about to finish the regular season setting all-time records in the league history, 25 years of the league history in rebounding numbers. We are a tremendous rebounding team, and our defense, that's our calling card. That's what we hang our hat on. We have just put together an unbelievable defensive season. So really proud that we're playing at that side of the ball so well, and it's covered up some nights where we haven't been as good offensively. But that defense, that rebounding, our tenacity has shown up each and every night.
Well, defensively, I'm so glad you bring that up because, as you said, you know, statistically, the best in the league, that is the staple of a Kurt Miller Sun team. So what's the key to limiting your opponents?
You know, it all starts with our first pillar, Alyssa, that we're preparation-driven. We are probably the most scout-heavy team in the league. I've got great assistant coaches.
Okay.
We prepare like crazy. Did I lose you?
No, you're here. Continue.
Okay. You know, it's our preparation pillar is so important to us. We're very scout heavy. They get into that film room with us each and every day. We really stay in the moment. We never get ahead of ourselves. We try to go quarter by quarter, We really try to lock into what other teams are trying to accomplish. And that commitment to preparation has really helped us each and every night out, staying in the moment and not, you know, overlooking a game here or there, or not coming out flat for a game. By preparing as hard as they do for each and every game has put us in position to keep this winning streak going.
I want to learn more about Jonquel Jones, who has had just an incredible season thus far. Tell our listeners why she should be voted MVP this season. I mean, what do you think, Coach?
Yeah. You know, with one game left, I think she's a shoo-in, but you just never know. But for those who haven't followed us in Jonquel Jones, a 6'6", versatile player, can play inside and out, really talented three-point shooter from the post position, but also a very talented back-to-the-basket player. Has been an all-defensive player in the past, again, anchors what we do with rim protection, and is frankly and clearly the best defensive rebounder in the world in women's basketball right now. Leads the league in rebounding, will finish as the league leader in rebounding, just a tremendous player. I think, you know, she's the best player on the best team this year. I think she's a shoe-in for the 2021 WNBA MVP.
So, Coach, what is it personally and professionally like for you to have the opportunity to coach such a dynamic player? I mean, come on, she makes your job that much easier, doesn't she?
You know, covers up a lot of weaknesses, right? You know,
like, yeah.
You know, you know, there's a lot of film out there on her. They show her a lot compared to KD.
Okay.
Her shot looks the same.
Yeah.
She's built the same. You know, she's this long, special athlete that can play inside and out. She's more of a power forward than maybe KD is, but, you know, their games mirror each other so much. So special when you have a once-in-a-lifetime player like her. And, again, it's just remarkable to watch her growth each and every year. She never stops growing. She keeps trying to add something to her game each year, and that's what makes her so special.
Hey, we are hooping it up. Kurt Miller, the head coach of the Connecticut Sun, WNBA. We are looking so forward to the playoffs. And, you know, one thing about the playoffs when it comes, I mean, you've got to have depth and you got to have those rotations. So talk to us about the depth and any concern as far as the fatigue factor, because you want to keep your women fresh.
Sure. I think that's the question mark for us. I believe in our bench, but we clearly extend minutes for our starters. But having now Alyssa Thomas back, one of our other star players back from injury, really helps our depth factor. Again, you know, the double bye in the unique playoff structure that the WNBA has, where we advance directly to the semifinals, really helps us. We will have 11 days in between the last regular season game and before the semifinals. So the challenge will be to stay sharp. The challenge will continue to be ready when the playoffs start for us in the semifinals. But I love the way our bench played last night. Was our most productive night of the season. So we're peaking, we're trending at the right time.
Mm-hmm. You sound, just listening to your voice, I mean, you're so proud of your team, but never satisfied, right? You always want to continue to get better. So collectively as a team, I mean, what are some areas that you guys can continue to improve upon? I mean, you're talking about how you're trending in the right direction. I mean, everything's coming together, but there's always something as a coach, right? You're like, we got to do better in this particular category.
Obviously, the defense and rebounding is where we hung our hat on. We've been a little bit inconsistent all year offensively. Mm-hmm. When we play well offensively, we are tough to beat. So we're going to look for offensive execution. We're going to look for efficiency as the playoffs start. And if we can keep our turnovers down, that would help us tremendously. So, again, when we play well and efficient at the offensive end, because our defense and rebounding has shown up each night, we've been tough to beat. So there'll be a pressure on us in the playoffs. As we know, it gets tougher, it gets harder. You're playing against the elite teams that may now extend their starters more than they did in the regular season. There's going to be a premium on offensive execution for us to take that final step.
Mm-hmm. A compelling conversation with Kurt Miller, head coach of the Connecticut Sun. They've got the best record right now in the WNBA. We got our eye on you. We look forward to reconvening and having another conversation. Thank you so much, Coach. First time on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back with you on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. And when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you and your parts quickly. You can order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. And they'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, here we go. Game day, it is underway, and it's time to preview Oklahoma-Nebraska in a battle of a classic football rivalry. We are so delighted to have back with us. He is live in Norman, Oklahoma, host of Total Sports on CBS Radio, and that is the great James Hale. Good morning, James.
Good morning, E, and I just wanted to know, have you played basketball this morning before you came on? You know, your teammate is Akeem Olajuwon. Not everybody can team up with the great Akeem Olajuwon, and you're still throwing elbows out on the court, and they're complaining about it, but if they would talk to me and watched you play at OU, I would let them know this is the toughness she plays with. So they need to quit yapping and just play ball. Not only that, Akeem threw the ball to you on the block.
That's right.
How good you really are.
Oh, we are reliving one of my favorite memories, playing one-on-one, or not actually one-on-one, but playing hoops at Lifetime Center, Lifetime Fitness, with the great Akeem Olajuwon. I shared that story earlier with James this week, but I sound like I'm out of breath. I sound like I've been playing basketball because I'm so fired up about this morning. So, James, a countdown to kickoff, noon Eastern on Fox. How excited are you about this age-old rivalry that has been renewed here in week three of the college football season? Talk to me.
I'm incredibly excited. This week, I mean, I've had a chance to talk to the great Barry Switzer, Greg Pruitt, Joe Washington, Dewey Selman, Lucius Selman, Joe Wiley. Think about all the great players that played in this game, in the game of the century in 1971. 17 of the 22 starters on the All-Big 8 team that year were Sooners or Cornhuskers. 27 guys that played in this game went on and played in the National Football League. Coaches Tom Osborne and Barry Switzer were both offensive coordinators in this game. Jimmy Johnson, who went on to win championships in the NFL, the college game, along with Barry Switzer, was the defensive line coach, I think, in this game. So there's so much history, and you go from this game and just keep going, keep going, and keep going until 2:10. When Nebraska decided to go to the Big Ten, and I think that's the worst move Nebraska has made. Oh, they're rich, they're making money, but they're not winning anymore. And we'll get into that, I'm sure, why not. But this game is a brainchild of Joe Castiglione when Nebraska decided to leave. He immediately called Tom Osborne and said, hey, somehow we got to keep this rivalry going. Well, it took them a while because of games they had to switch around with the new conference alignments. Really, it was until 2:20 where they could start seeing some openings in their non-conference schedule at Nebraska. So Joe, being the historian that he is, said, hey, look, why don't we just celebrate the game of the century, which, hey, I'm throwing you a bone, Tom, because you guys beat us that day. I mean, Nebraska won the game 35-31,
right?
But we'll recreate it. It's got to be in Norman the first game because in 71 it was in Norman, 72, which was another incredibly great game. OU won that game on the road at Nebraska. And so they came to an agreement, and I'm glad they have. We've been able to talk about this rivalry. We've been able to reconnect with old friends from Nebraska that we always used to work with on a weekly basis, like Stephen Sipple of the Lincoln Star Journal and others like in the media that I've always hung out with. And it's been a lot of fun. It really has. Now, this game is interesting because Oklahoma is still riding high, even though they've had their ups and downs. Bob Stoops came in, he stabilized everything, and since 2000, Oklahoma's been one of the best powers in college football. That hasn't been the case for Nebraska. When they went to the Big Ten early, they played pretty well. They went 10-4, 9-4 in a couple of seasons. But then they started having losing records, and Now Scott Frost in his fourth year is, what, the third head coach in the last 10 years?
Right.
And, you know, he's on the hot seat coming into this game. So Nebraska's not riding high. This could stabilize his program right now. If Scott's able to play the Sooners off their feet and win or play them close, if he doesn't and he gets blown out, that's going to cause all the Nebraska brass and media and everybody to howl that they don't have the right guy. So there is a lot riding on this game. It's not your classic matchup that often we've got in this game, but it's cool that they're playing again.
Right. You're listening to the voice of James Hale, CBS Sports Radio in Oklahoma City. You can dial him in 105.3. And, you know, James, as we prepare, it is countdown to kickoff, Oklahoma, Nebraska. If you're just joining us, you mentioned two of the legendary figures at the center of this rivalry. And that, of course, Barry Switzer, Tom Osborne, two Hall of Fame coaches. You had a chance on your show this week to talk to Coach Switzer. Will he be there? Will Tom Osborne be at the game this morning?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I think they're both going to be there. I think Rich Glover's coming back. Jerry Taggy's coming back. I expect to see them at the stadium today. I think they're all here. I'm pretty sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think, the fact Rich Glover came in. Rich Glover, here's how cool this rivalry is. Rich Glover was a great nose tackler at that time, playing nose guard, legitimate nose guard. He battled Tom Brehaney, a two-time All-American at OU at center. Glover finished with 22 tackles in one of the most amazing games you've seen a defensive lineman play in college football. But the Sooners are running the wishbone. They're constantly hammering that fullback up the middle. He made 22 tackles.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, a reporter goes, "Rich, that's one of the greatest games I've ever seen played." He goes, "You got to be kidding me." He goes, "That guy across from me is the best player I've ever played against. He blocked me. He hit me harder than I've ever been hit in my life." And the reporter reminded him he made 22 tackles. He goes, "I guess I should have made 40 because it doesn't seem like I made any." So that's the class that you had.
Yeah.
Lucius Selman told me yesterday, he said, "Hey, look, we didn't ever badmouth each other when we played this rivalry. We just played hard, tried to beat the guy in front of us, but there was no mouthing off. There was no, bad name calling or anything like that." He goes, "In fact, we respected them so much. And they respected us, and that's what's cool about this rivalry." So
mm-hmm.
Barry Switzer and Tom Osborne couldn't be any more different, and yet they're great friends. Tom, straight list, academician. He did interviews with anybody. I don't know how many times I've had Tom on my show throughout the years. It's a good interview. It's just not lively. You don't hang up the phone going, "Oh, wow, I just talked to the most energetic guy ever." Now, you interview Barry Switzer, and you'll be talking about it for weeks. And so they were different, and they were different how they approached things. And the pictures that you see between the two, or you see Barry celebrating with an Hawaiian, crimson shirt on, and Tom in a suit, celebrating, something at Nebraska. It's kind of how they were and how they lined up. But two of the greatest coaches of all time, both in the College Football Hall of Fame, they made this rivalry what it is, and yet Coach Switzer dominated this rivalry. I think it's 12-4, 12-5 in favor of Switzer. Barry just had the better Jimmys and Jones most of the time. But three times, Oklahoma took down Nebraska that was ranked number one in the country coming into this game. And OU just had a little more speed or a few more playmakers. And even though, let's face it, Johnny Rogers, IM Hip, Mike Rozier,
mm-hmm.
Turner Gill. Nebraska has their players, man. And it just seemed like OU had a few more through the years.
James, you do such a great job putting into perspective, what Tom Osborne, his 25 years, his run at Nebraska, was able to accomplish, what Barry Switzer did at Oklahoma. So many wonderful memories. But let's kind of move ahead here and focus on the matchup between OU and the Cornhuskers. Can they make this a competitive game? What do you anticipate?
Well, they can make it a competitive game if the Sooners let Adrian Martinez loose or they let him hit a big pass. He does have big receivers that he can throw to. I think that's the way they have to do it. Nebraska's pretty stout on defense. If somehow they slow down Spencer Rattler and Spencer doesn't fire and OU has to punt a couple of times and Nebraska's able to turn it into points. See, I don't think those things will happen. I think Spencer will have a great game. I think that the Oklahoma offense will roll. But again, when you're looking at this and you're breaking it down, I mean, Nebraska is the most talented team Oklahoma will play. Nebraska does come in with some Jimmies and Joes, and they are a fairly talented Big Ten team. What are they going to finish? Middle of the pack, probably, something like that. I mean, I don't think Nebraska is going to challenge for the Big Ten crown. But Martinez, you know, he has thrown for 256 yards and 3 touchdowns, or he's rushed for that. He's hit 46 of 74 passes for 728, 4 touchdowns. He's one of 3 guys in Big Ten history to have over 6,000 yards throwing and 2,000 yards rushing. I mean, he's a very impressive player. But as a true quarterback, I don't know if Martinez has improved. I'm going to find out in a few minutes. Is he more accurate? Can he really, you know, sometimes he just seems to miss wide open receivers, or he misses reads on this thing. So I don't know. It's going to help if his, you know, if his wide receiver core is healthy, and I don't know if they are. You know, he's got some guys out there that are 6'3". He's got a tight end that's 6'9". I mean, Nebraska gets off the bus.
Wow.
And he goes, what? Wow, man, that's pretty good. You know, man.
Yeah.
You know, but Oklahoma's just got better talent than this one. And Oklahoma should win. They should cover. I predict they're going to win 45-17. But I know they're going to be in a football game, and they'll talk about that when the game's over.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Saturday morning. It is game day. Countdown to kickoff. Oklahoma-Nebraska right here at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, talking to my good friend. So excited for him. He's got a new gig, CBS Sports Radio in Oklahoma City. Dial him in, 105.3, host of Total Sports. Also, subscribe to Die Hard Sooner Reports at Patreon. Some good stuff always on there, James. Give a plug in, a shout-out for what you got going on there online.
Well, I'm telling you, Die Hard Sooner Report, I focus in. It's 3 to 5 minute reports. You can get right to what the news is about Oklahoma. And we put out 3 to 5 reports on all OU sports. We cover recruiting and all OU sports as well. And so it's a small donation. It's $5 or more. And it's really, I think it's a great thing. I love doing it. The people that are on it, I think they enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
OU's got quite the golf team this year. And
Boomer,
you know,
Sooner.
They just won the Marathon. That's right, they did. And I know, can we brag on your son? Is that fun?
I'm going to let you do that. Yes, James.
Sure. Well, Stephen Campbell Jr. is a shot maker. Uh-huh. And at times he was the fifth best player here. But think about this in team golf. You know, when you have that fifth best player that's shooting a 73, mm-hmm. getting a birdie on the back nine, and then parring the rest of the holes, that's how you win golf tournaments. Ryan Hibble's talking about team golf at OU, and he's got quite the team at OU this year.
Our game day coverage continues with James Hale after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. It is game day, and we're going one-on-one with host of Total Sports, CBS Sports Radio in Oklahoma City. That is James Hale. Okay, we are up against the clock. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. A couple more questions as we get you set and ready for Oklahoma-Nebraska. You said it earlier, James. You had mentioned, you know, Nebraska has struggled in recent years. Just to be, you know, candid, there are a lot of fans that are unhappy with Scott Frost. I mean, the program seems to have lost its identity. You know, they're not even winning Big Ten titles. Kind of give us the pulse as far as what's the direction this program is headed.
Well, what Scott has to do is what all the coaches have had to do since Tom Osborne's retired. You've got to continue to recruit. When Nebraska went from the Big 8 to the Big 10, they lost their recruiting lanes. They were recruiting New Jersey. They were recruiting California. They were recruiting Texas, and those were the three main areas, and they were getting their quarterbacks, and they were getting their skill out of those areas. Then they switched offenses. They wanted to throw the ball. They didn't want to run option football anymore, and that's why they lost their identity. They used to be a team with big offensive linemen, incredible tailbacks, running quarterbacks, and quarterbacks that could also throw. Think Eric Crouch, who could throw pretty well, and you know, and he ran the football pretty well, won the Heisman Trophy, and that was the last great player at Nebraska. So if he's going to turn it around, he's got to turn it around on the recruiting trail. You have to have these Jimmies and the Joes. You'll see in this game, I think we'll see in this game, Oklahoma has a lot more athletes, a lot more team speed. I think you'll be able to see that pretty easily. When Nebraska's not great in the offensive line, See, I would rebuild my offensive line first if I'm Scott Frost. At least we're going back to our identity. I'm getting five big hogs up there. I'm going to blow people off the ball, but they've had trouble doing that. He's had trouble holding athletes on his team. They leave in transfers. So those are a couple of keys for him, and he's got it. Right now they're like 72nd or 62nd in recruiting. That's not going to cut it. You've got to get some blue bloods. You've got to get some five stars. Again, I'd load up an offensive lineman. Surely I can find one tailback somewhere. I can find one quarterback, and then I go play.
I've only got 60 seconds. James, you said earlier that Nebraska made a mistake going to the Big Ten Conference. Why?
Because they ruined their recruiting lanes. It's not a mistake financially. They're making more money. Stability-wise, they're good, but they're not winning. I see they're winning in volleyball, I guess. They're good in track and field, but they're not winning in football. They're rebuilding their basketball program a little bit. But on the field, they've lost their recruiting lanes in most sports, and especially in football, and that's why it's a mistake they went up there. If they were still in the Big Eight, they could still recruit California, New Jersey, because those kids want to go somewhere and play in new areas. When they went to the Big Ten, all those kids said, "Hey, you know, we've already done that. We can do that now. We're going somewhere else." And that's cost Nebraska big time.
We got you ready. Oklahoma-Nebraska, a battle of a classic football rivalry. True pleasure to have with us this morning. Joining us from Norman, Oklahoma, that is James Hale. Check him out online, CBS Sports Radio in Oklahoma City. Take care, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Jay.
Have a great day.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.